Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And this is Max Rushton.
And this is the H&J Daily, the podcast featuring some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well,
And an anecdote about a toilet. You know, so
you'll hear from Ben Foster, the Watford keeper, who was on good form, wasn't he? Telling us about what it's like to play City when they're completely on it. We spoke about all sorts of weird and wonderful things. We also heard from Mick McCarthy.
Yes. Yeah, he's on good form, Mick, isn't he?
Cardiff manager joined us, so we'll bring you that as well. And we spoke to a guy called Michael Helfgott. He's an amazing guy. He's the son of a former Olympian called Sir Ben Helfgott. And he told us his dad's remarkable story on Holocaust Memorial Day. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Max.
So the title's sewn up then, isn't it? You know, because West Brom haven't lost at home 5-0 for, 4 weeks? So it's a real sign, isn't it? Mind you, I mean, when City get it right, like they did in the first half, it's kind of otherworldly, the football they play, isn't it? It's so, everyone is so relaxed. When you know, the way Gundogan took that first one, or when Mahrez controlled the ball, he's just sort of, he's so relaxed.
It does look like the opposition should be in bibs. Yeah. And then, so it's bibs versus non-bibs. It's A versus B. I mean, if you look at West Brom's home form, I mean, you wonder if the fans would have made a difference under Sam. But they've lost 3-0 to Villa, 5-0 to Leeds, 4-0 to Arsenal at home, and now obviously 5-0 to City last night.
Obviously, you know, coming on here and criticising a fan base is not a wise move, but you're giving the West Brom fans a lot of credit if they're going to turn any of those into wins, aren't they? I really liked them.
Yes, being the 12th man against City last night probably would have made it 4-0.
Big Sam would have locked all the fans in the stadium as well as all the players in the dressing room when he said, right, I've got to leave. Do you reckon that works?
So what about the idea of fans not doing their job? A bit like the sort of, come on, let's be Avenue Day we were talking to Dean Ashton about last week with Delia. But what if Big Sam was so upset with the quality of the fans' support in a game that they locked all the doors of the stadium?
You can't leave.
And before he spoke to the players, he came out and just berated all the fans. Not that he would, of course.
What do you think happens in that? You know, when they're left in the dressing room for an hour?
Yeah.
Apart from someone, they're all looking down at the floor.
Yeah.
You know, Kieran Gibbs and Jake Livermore, they're all there. And surely somebody sticks their head up and goes, Gaffer, City are quite good. Yeah. You know, surely one goes, but of all the games, you know, you could have done it in the Leeds game, but this one.
Do they actually really lock the dressing room door?
So. Yeah,
Do you think they lock it? Do you think there is that moment, that click, and then all the players then laughing, oh, God, you know, I had dinner booked for 8 o'clock. I'm not going to make it. You know, in a normal world.
Well, you know, like I don't believe any boxers dislike each other. I think when they do that round the back, they just have a cup of tea round the back. Say, right, I'll hate you. You say you hate me. We'll go face to face. We'll push each other a bit. It'll get
some
more
table at you.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think it's the same where Sam says, "Look, I've got to lock it."
Yeah.
So you know, get your phones out. Here's Connect Four. There's a Connect Four station over there. You can play Ludo.
Yeah.
You know, I've set up a PlayStation over there, but I've just got to keep it locked for an hour.
I've got to be late to the press press. I've got to be late to the interviews. You know, I've got to have the people on the TV saying, "Well, we're still waiting for Sam to emerge from the dressing room. He's locked the door." Yeah, so he said, "Whatever, have a game of cards."
It's a ruse, isn't it?
You think it is?
I think it's a.
We'll ask Ben Foster. Yeah. We've got Ben Foster on later on. Questions to a pro we never thought we'd ask, but we are extensively going to talk about what it's like to be on the end of City when they're at it, because I think it's fair to say that Watford have suffered more than most over
the
years.
It's a nice bloke, right? Texted in this morning going, "You know, you've been hammered a million times by Man City. Do you want to come on and tell us about it?"
Yeah.
And then he's
fair play to him. And
he's a very nice man.
He said yes. But
he's yet to answer his phone, I guess.
Yeah, we may have just put him off. He probably thought he was coming on to do something much more. They did win last night. We will talk about it without Ben because he's busted his finger. But anyway, we will be chatting about that a little bit later on. Jason Cundy's going to join us. It should be an interesting sports bar tonight. Five Premier League games, of course, and his club Chelsea in action. So you can get your calls into the guys tonight. We'll see what Thomas Tuchel does, and he's only had like one training session. So we'll get Jason's thoughts on what he thinks he needs to address straight away and any little tweaks that we may even see this evening. Tim Vickery is going to be joining us. Mickey Gray is one of our co-commentators tonight. We'll bring you all 10 games. We brought you four last night. We'll bring you Tottenham, Liverpool tomorrow. We've got the five matches tonight.
Yeah, a lot of ears, don't you? You have to listen to any true TalkSport listener will listen to all the games at the same time.
You've got three matches being played simultaneously tonight. That would take some doing. But anyway, we'll be doing all of that for you a little bit later on. But if you were with us yesterday, you'll be aware that Max had a DIY issue, which involved a screw that the thread had completely gone. He couldn't get his screwdriver. Well, he couldn't get his screwdriver in it because he hasn't got a screwdriver.
I'd have a tiny
But he had a drill bit that had a screwdriver attachment to it. Mm. And so he did all of that. And basically, you even went live on Instagram, didn't you, to try and get to... I worked on the basis that, you know, it's obviously, Max, your middle-class upbringing, whereas my address book, of course, may be full of old sort of sparks and... you know, plumbers and stuff.
Listen,
like that.
You're, I mean, I've said this before.
I'm you haven't man, got enough
I'm
of those
man,
people
I'm
in your
man
phone
of
book.
The people, right? I got out of Central Cambridge CB1. Just how tough it was. We didn't even have a full size harp in the music room.
Straight out of Cherry Hinton.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm not Cherry Hinton. Oh, no, that's a bit down market. Paul.
Sorry for everybody listening in Cherry Hinton.
I was the posh side of Mill Road Bridge. Don't be ridiculous. How very dare you?
But see, I can call on this army of tradespeople at times. Yeah. But surely the boys you play football with, they're not all doctors of theology, are they?
Our centre back was late because he was in court that morning because he's a barrister, isn't he? So he's representing he's representing someone. I think there's a lot of the back four, mainly accountants. Then we have more creatives in midfield.
Yeah,
I think sort of people in TV and stuff. And so, you know, but we did it. R2, you know, he's the Polish. You know, he does my work for me sometimes around the house.
Oh, so you have a little
goalkeeper.
Man. You normally have a little man that comes in.
He's quite a terrifying 6'4" goalkeeper. played Polish first division. I wouldn't cross him.
Why don't you haven't put a call into him then to talk you through this? This anyway, you tried the rubber band.
Rubber
thing
band
last
didn't
night.
Work. And then I saw it. Someone sent me a YouTube video. You can put electrical tape on the screw.
Yeah,
I tried that. I tried a plaster because I had a plaster.
Yeah.
That didn't do. Just so if anyone does have a screw problem at the moment, a plaster doesn't fix it. So
I was also quite shocked when I said to you, "Well, try a different screwdriver." You said, "I haven't got a screwdriver." I said, "Well, you can always, you know, hammer it off the back." And he said, "I haven't got a hammer." No Trini Lopez for you.
I've bought a toolkit today.
You have £40. He's bought a pretty decent toolkit.
I just feel like an alpha male
well,
now. Because, you know, maybe I'm not alpha. I think this might be...
You're often have a minty tea just after 1 o'clock, like me. I'm here with my minty tea. Yeah, but you've had a strong builder's
I've
today.
Got builders with 17 so sugars today.
You're, suddenly you're on the tools, Max.
Absolutely
You've really gone for it. It's great. We're going to see an earthier, so we're going to you're going to have the old Dagenham smile out the back of your kex. We're going to see the top of your bum every time you bend over.
I very much hope that, you know, by 4 o'clock, I've at least got like a 74% rating on Checkatrade. That would be...
That would
if
be
I could
fantastic.
Get that, I'd like that.
Yeah, we'll be trusting you as a trader by 4 o'clock
I should hope
afternoon.
So.
You'll have a little pencil behind your ear. You'll be going...
But the listeners
that's probably about 500 quid, that is, mate.
The listeners were much more helpful yesterday than the people watching my Instagram Live who weren't taking it seriously enough, really.
Well, they normally join you when you want a bit of a background to Kant's critique of pure reason. That's what they were hoping for.
Kant, isn't all
about
that?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
And the winners of the 2019 FA Cup are Manchester City. It's finished at Wembley. Manchester City 6, Watford nil.
De Bruyne now pressing forward. He picks up the ball. Right-footed shot. And that is number eight. And that is pure Kevin De Bruyne. Manchester City 8, Watford 0.
Simple as you like this one. It's a free kick on the right-hand side taken by Kevin De Bruyne and headed home by a pretty unmarked Emerick Laporte. Watford 0, City 4.
There's not much you can do when City are at it, as they showed last night against West Brom. It's really, really difficult. Watford have been on the wrong end of some pretty hefty defeats, of course, over the years from Man City in recent years. That was put together by Jamie, our assistant producer, who's a Watford fan, so it was painful for him, but maybe not quite as painful as for our next guest listening back to that, the Watford keeper, Ben Foster. Hiya, Ben.
After, it was definitely as painful for me. I wasn't going to have to let the goal in.
Sorry about that. We just a catalogue of those together. You weren't in goal. I think you weren't in goal for all of them. The cup final, wasn't it? So Gomez was it. Anyway, we'll move on. You face that. I mean, when they're in full flow, I imagine it's just really difficult to deal with.
Yeah, it's scary. One of the clips he was showing there was the one where it was 8-0 away at the Etihad. And I think it was 18 minutes into the game, they had just scored their fifth goal. And I remember, I was trying to talk to the defenders, the midfield. I was trying to talk to them to say, come on, keep going, keep your head up. And it was like a glaze. I was met with a glazed look, and none of them just knew what to do. They couldn't control their bodily functions. It was crazy, honestly. It was absolutely crazy.
What's the, there were two questions I had. One is, you know, do you say, come on, lads, still 0-0, and you know you're lying to yourself inside, Ben?
No, I'm as a goalie, I'm fearing the worst of the worst. Like I said, when it's 18 minutes gone and it's 5-0, all I can think is, oh God, this is going to be 14 or 15-0. And that day in particular, honestly, it could have been 14 or 15-0. They were so good, and they were just carving us open at every single opportunity. And every time they had a shot on goal, it seemed to go in the back of there. A little bit like the West Brom game last night as well, actually, where I think they only had 6 or 7 shots on target, but every single time they created a real opening. You just knew it was a goal, and sometimes there's just nothing you can do about it either.
When the opposition starts racking up the goals like that, do you start seeing tomorrow's headlines? You start seeing the back of the papers and social media? Does that play on your mind?
100%. Nowadays, that kind of stuff for footballers is, look, when it goes really bad, especially when it goes really bad, you know that there's something going to be written about you. You know you're going to be kind of ridiculed. You know there's going to be memes and Instagram videos and all that kind of stuff. That's the way the world works nowadays. And people, they love kind of reveling in your hurt and your discomfort. So it does sort of play on your mind. But like I said, I think that the one day I'm talking about in particular, thankfully Man City kind of took their foot off the gas a little bit. We managed to get in at half-time 5-0, which I was actually quite thankful for after being 5 down after 18.
And what's the dressing room like at half-time? Are you just sitting next to each other going, yeah, they're pretty good?
Yeah, basically, yeah. I was a guy that had to get kind of wheeled out at full-time as well to do the sort of the post-mortem of it all. And I was brutally honest. You know, they were absolutely brilliant. We were trying. It's not like we weren't trying to let goals in or anything, but it's not like we just gave up. The lads were still working hard, but they were just so much better than us that day. And like you said, like last night, when they're in full flow, they are. Man City are probably the one team, for me, the one team. Liverpool, absolutely brilliant. They're ruthless at times. And Man United at the minute, really, really good. But Man City, when they get in full flow, I think there's no one better.
I suppose the added thing from your point of view is that the City fans like to remind you that you play for Manchester United in an environment like that, I guess.
Yeah, that's always helpful as well, just to sort of add sort of salt to the wounds, if you like. But when you're 5 down already, there's not much more sort of hurt you can feel, to be honest with you. You're already as low as a snake's belly anyway.
And you know, you're all elite sports people, right? You've got to, you know, I've played occasionally with players who are that good that they sort of grieve when they lose. Like, in the dressing room afterwards, like, you obviously are so coded, right? To get to the level that you guys have got to, you're sort of born winners. So it must be really strange to be sitting in a dressing room after that going, wow, they're on a different level to us.
Yeah, but for me personally, you know, everyone's different. Everyone's played for different clubs at different levels and all that kind of stuff. I've always been that guy that's played for, like, the middling team, if you like. You know, I spent 7 or 8 years at West Brom. I spent a year at Birmingham. I've been on loan to Watford in the Premiership, where we kind of got relegated. So I'm very much used to being one of those guys where, you know, one week you might win it and then next week you might lose it. So it is what it is for me. And I think the beauty of me particularly, I'm a lot older than most of the other lads. So I've been there and seen it. And like I said, I tried to say to the lads, it is what it is, lads. You know, sometimes you come up against these immovable forces and they absolutely batter and smash you out the way. And Man City are very good at doing that.
So training on a Monday, you've forgotten it?
I have, for sure. I know for a fact a lot of the other lads haven't, though. They've kind of spent the whole weekend reliving it. And like I say, social media, it's got a massive, massive role to play in all this. Because I know, like I say, kids nowadays, they just live on their phone, don't they? So all they'll be doing is reliving it, watching the goals, watching the comments, listening to this and that, and taking it all in. And I'm trying to say, lads, don't do that. It's the worst thing you could do. Even Match of the Day, I wouldn't even watch Match of the Day because I know if I've done well or not, and that's all that matters to me.
And what was the manager's reaction that day at the end of the game?
I'm just trying to think which manager it was.
I was hoping you'd remember because I couldn't.
It was probably Kike Sanchez-Flores, right? That's every other one, right?
Yeah, it was. It was Kike. I think that was about 5 or 6 managers ago. I'm not sure. It was Kike, yeah. But he was a cool guy, you know. He was really cool. And he was another one who was very pragmatic. And he understands that sometimes you just, like I say, you come up against somebody who's a level above you. And that day, they were 2 or 3 levels above us. And there's no point in shouting or ranting and raving, you know. You wasn't getting through to anybody anyway. Like I said earlier, when that fifth goal went in, I was trying to talk to the players and you just met with a glazed look. It's like they were shell-shocked from it all. So there would have been no point in trying to kind of cajole, like get into it. But you just got to try and pick everybody up and know there's another game in a few days' time, hopefully.
On a slightly different topic, Ben, when a new manager comes in, obviously everybody wants to impress. The Chelsea boys had their first training session with Thomas Tuchel yesterday, and at Watford, as you alluded to, you've had quite a few managers in recent years. So what is it like when the new guy comes in? Are you all trying to get in his face? You're trying to be teacher's pet? You're being called for school? What's the approach for those of you that have maybe never met the guy before?
Well, I think first of all, as soon as you hear somebody's coming in and you're kind of nailed on knowing who it's going to be, you then start finding out who he is as a bloke. Do you know what I mean? What he's like as a bloke, what his style of play might be, all that kind of stuff. So you'll try and get in touch with somebody. So obviously, somewhere along the line, you'll know somebody who's played under this manager or knows somebody else that might have played. So you'll find out what he's like. Is he a good guy? Is he easy going? Is he hardworking? Is he sort of very much in your face? Is he all that kind of stuff? You'll learn that and know that before the guy's even walked into the door. So you have a kind of a bearing or a gauge of how to approach him. But then once he comes in, I wouldn't say everybody's sort of trying to show off and look at me and blah, blah, blah. But I'd guarantee the first few days of training at least are a lot more higher tempo. You know, the players that haven't been in the team recently, they'll be working a lot harder, they'll be in the gym more, all that kind of stuff, just to try and catch the eyes of the manager to be like, oh yeah, come on then, like, hopefully give me a go, sort of thing.
So the Watford players must be so intense at training because there's a new one every couple of weeks, right? must be shattered.
Keeps them on their toes.
And we'll, like, so we're thinking about, I think so many people will read into, like, whichever team Tuchel picks tonight, you know, that suddenly they're the players that he loves, and then the players that aren't picked tonight will be cast away forever.
Like, phoning the agent saying, get me out, exactly. He doesn't fancy me.
You know, on the first game that a manager has, do you read a lot? Do the players sort of think, oh, I can't believe I've not been picked, or that's great, I have been picked, or are they slightly smarter about it than we would be?
No, I'm the same as you. I think you can read a lot into it. You do. I think you have to read a lot into it, because if you've got a new guy coming in and all of a sudden he changes, he might keep the same formation, but if he picks a whole new set of players, if you've been playing and used to playing and then all of a sudden he comes in and changes, you're thinking, oh, maybe I'm just not his type of player. And that genuinely is a worry, but that's football for you. You know, every kind of manager player is different and they'll want their own style of play and style of players. And that's why some players, it just works for you. At some clubs, it just works. You find a team that works for you, and then other times it doesn't work for you at a certain club. But that might just because the manager likes to play a certain type of player or a certain sort of system that doesn't work for that player.
Finally, Ben, you're injured at the moment. You've broken a finger, haven't you? So how's the? Well, actually, I saw your cycling goalkeeper video doing a bit of rehab at the club. It's a bit frustrating at the moment.
Yeah, again though, like for me, I'm 37 years old. It is what it is. Part injuries, you know, especially for me, I've had so many in the past. You've been my knees and stuff like that. I've had such a good run recently. The last 4 or 5 years, I think I've only missed one league game prior to this finger injury. So I've had a good run, to be honest with you. So yeah, like I say, it is what it is. Though it's a chance to sort of improve all your other bits and bobs, your fitness, your strength work, all that. So hopefully it won't be too long. You know, say broken fingers, they're fiddly little things, but you've just got to sort of rest them and wait till they're fully better. So maybe 2, 3, 4 weeks, I don't know, but gives you a chance to work on other things at least.
We wish you well. Thanks for joining us, Ben. We appreciate
Cheers, mate.
It.
Pleasure. Cheers, guys.
Take care. Ben Foster there, the Watford keeper, with his thoughts on facing City when they are at it. It does sound pretty fearsome.
He's such a great attitude. I'm not saying it just because he can probably still hear us, but it's a great attitude to the whole thing, I think. You know, just really knowing his place and, you know, and just having some perspective about it, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he did leave out the fact he played at Manchester United. He did for us in that League Cup final in 2009 in the Pens. Yeah, cheers, Ben. No, but thanks.
All right, you'll get over it, Paul.
I will eventually.
You'll win loads more trophies after that.
Oh, yeah, we've got the
League Cup. Every few years.
Get used to that. Oh, well, it was only a League Cup. All we've got to do is get past City.
Yeah,
let's hope they're not at it that day. We get Ben in the dressing room at half time to talk to the Tottenham players.
Don't worry, lads.
Try and talk them
5-0,
down.
5-0, don't worry.
Just win the second half.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Mick McCarthy takes his Cardiff team to Barnsley, his hometown, this evening. It'll be an emotional game, I'm sure. Joining us now, it is Mick. Good afternoon, Mick.
Good afternoon, or should I say, Pryn Han Da.
Oh, wow. You've been working. I can see you've been working on the Welsh, Mick.
Well, but do you not know anyone that wants a... A Greek dictionary, yeah, going begging, do you? Well, by any chance, I've got one spare from a couple of months back.
Yeah, it was a short-lived spell in Greece, wasn't it, Mick, for you?
Lovely suntan, though.
Yeah, that's probably better when you're getting Cardiff. Are you a Doctor Who fan? I mean, it's Doctor Who country, Cardiff. I wonder if this is one of the reasons why you've taken the job.
Well, I've had to get a couple of Cybermen in on a short-term contract. Their agents playing silly devils, maybe sea devils, you might say. But the Daleks were just not mobile enough.
They could play at centre back, I guess, Mick.
Training against the Daleks might be interesting. We might win a couple of games that way. You never know your luck.
So going back to Barnsley, Mick, I'm sure it'd be a very emotional to head back to Yorkshire with your new team.
Yeah, sackcloth and ashes, or Saclean Iludu. As I now say. So it'll be very, very emotional, but I'm afraid I don't know the Welsh word for emotional yet, so you'll have to bear with me on
still
that one.
Still on one syllable.
Of course not, TalkSport listeners. It could only be Britain's foremost Mick McCarthy impersonator, although probably not in front of Mick. It's Ian Dante. Hiya, Dante.
Afternoon, boys.
Hello. Have you done that one for Mick?
No. Absolutely not. No, he would terrify me, I'm sure. I did sit near him at a Swansea game about 5 or 6 months ago. And, you know, I introduced myself and we had a chat. But at no point did I say, oh, by the way. No, that wasn't going to happen.
Were you waiting for that moment when he went, Ian Dancer, I know that.
No, that show business, Paul. They never say, oh, Ian Dancer, I've heard of you. No, that never happens.
Dance, the championship, I think a couple of months ago it was incredibly tight. It sort of seems like it's developing some sort of a form about it now, with a top 2-3 and then a sort of playoff set and then a mid-table. It's sort of it's getting the look of a normal league table now.
I think that's because of the way Norwich have done so well to keep a run of form going despite missing players through injury. You know, Todd Cantwell was out for a while, and he's a very pivotal player to what Daniel Farke's trying to do. And I guess when you look at Norwich, they didn't really have that much of an upheaval squad-wise from the squad that got relegated. And I, you know, in fairness, I did question at the start of the season how well those three relegated teams would adjust. But they're all there in the top six. Norwich, Watford and Bournemouth are all there or thereabouts. So fair play to them for all being up there and challenging. We kind of wonder that Brentford would continue the continuity from last season into this under Thomas Frank. I think the pleasant surprise is Swansea being where they are in third at the moment under Steve Cooper, who's done such great work integrating some of the kids he knows from his England coaching days. He had Brewster on loan last year. I know he's really struggling at Sheffield United, but the Swansea loan seemed to do him the world of good. So they've managed to get themselves competitive up there when they're a little bit light on numbers, Swansea. I wonder how much business Steve Cooper might be able to do before the window.
Borough play Rotherham tonight, and Neil Warnock is decided. There's two choices. You can try and butter the refs up, or you can go scorched earth. So guess what Neil's done? He said the current refs are the worst he has ever seen in the Championship.
Right,
said
I'm not having that. I'm sorry.
Bunch of traffic wardens, he says.
I don't understand it because, and Perry Gross will tell you the same, because Perry and I work most Saturdays, 3 o'clock on TalkSport 2 doing a Championship game, and also do games in midweek with, you know, really good pundits as well, like Perry on Sam Parkin or David Connolly. And if a referee had had a stinker, A, I would probably talk about it in commentary, and B, after the game, when we'd switched off the microphones and were packing away, one of us would turn to the other and go, God, he had a stinker tonight, didn't he? I cannot remember a referee putting in a performance that led me to say, on air, he hasn't got a clue what he's doing. Yeah, referees come in for a lot of clock, but I could not disagree more with Neil Warnock's assessment of the quality of referees. Yes, they make mistakes, but I struggle to see where he's coming from with that. I really do.
Traffic warden's a bad analogy as well, because then after each booking, they'd have to stand back and take like four photos
of the decision.
Each player they booked. I mentioned Jack Wilshere. I know it was the FA Cup last night. That's we're allowed to talk about that. And it was a lovely finish from Jack, wasn't it? And I think everybody just wills him to have a good time and be successful there.
Well, he did enjoy his time at Bournemouth first time, you know, and I think that played a huge part in him being willing to go back down to Championship level and start again, in effect. Of course, it's a slightly different Bournemouth now because you've got Jason Tindall there in sole charge rather than Eddie Howe, who brought Jack down there the first time. But that can only be a good thing for Bournemouth, not just for the FA Cup. But again, I mentioned they're in the top six, although they're the lowest of the three relegated teams. But Bournemouth are always good to watch. And I give Jason Tindall huge credit. If he can, you know, get Jack Wilshere, you know, back at the sort of levels that we can expect from him. The way he's trained Dominic Solanke on, for me, I think he's taught Dominic Solanke to stop playing outside the width of the 18-yard box as a striker, and he's been more effective as a consequence since then, to the extent that if Josh King does leave Bournemouth in this January transfer window, then it's not the huge body blow that you might ordinarily have expected, because Solanke's been much, much better this year. And Jason Tindall, I think, is a big part of that. And Graham Jones, who's just left for Newcastle. So if Wilshere picks up his levels, then the cherries will be ones to watch.
Dan, we know you want to have a bit of a Birmingham rant, your club, but we've run out of time, so we'll let you stew on that and we'll get you back another time
well,
to do that.
Birmingham have run out of time, I tell you.
Yeah, and thank Mick for us, won't you, as well?
No problem at all, I'm still here, boys.
There we
enjoy.
Thank you, Dan.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Maybe you should get your DIY stuff. You are still having trouble with this, the screw head has gone on you, and you're trying to take a cupboard door off and you can't get it off. Yeah. I've told you to take a hammer to it, but you haven't got a hammer.
No. Well, I have got a toolkit on its way.
You've got a toolkit on its way.
I mean, somebody did text in saying, Sean, given the number of sort of toolkits that sponsor us. Someone could have stepped up to the mark from the, you know, from the,
you know, don't cheapen yourself.
No, I'm not here for a freebie. I'm happy to pay my way.
Somebody was saying there is a special tool that deals with this that you can buy, but it seemed a bit excessive when you can take a hammer to it. But thank you, Dan, for letting me know about the tool. Have you ordered one?
I've ordered
those tools.
$7.99 screw.
It's become very costly bit of DIY. And you do know when your missus gets back from Australia, she's going to say, "Why did you take that cupboard door off? It looked perfectly fine." That's the sort of thing people do when they're bored.
Well, there was I did note it. The trouble was as I've said before, the washing machine was encroaching at the free kick. Takes a little bit. Each wash, it goes a little bit further forward.
Unlike the Milan wall last night that decroached. Basically, they put a white line and then they step back a yard. I mean, give Christian Eriksen a free hit, basically.
Basically, the Milan defence were basically doing the reverse washing machine, as it's known in footballing
football circles,
parlance.
Yeah.
But I did notice that when I pushed the washing machine back to get out the door and I closed the cupboard, it did look quite good, but I'm pot committed now. I'm all in. I'm all in.
Why don't you just put the two screws that did come out back in and forget the whole thing? But you're 46 quid down. You have got a toolkit.
I've got many other uses for the toolkit. I can see myself just under the U-bend all evening. It's a very exciting day for me.
You'll get your own set of rods. Wow. It'd be fantastic. You'll bring them to work every day in case.
The thing is, Paul, you've mentioned this rods thing, and I do like it. I don't strictly know what you're talking about.
It's it's the sort of thing that people say.
You push them down the sink.
Push them through your drains, ideally. I'll just go and get me rods. Don't want to hear somebody say that, really.
I've told you the time. It's a slightly sensitive story that I was on my toilet.
Okay.
And okay. It's after lunch.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there, as you
minding
imagine,
your own business,
minding my own business.
Yeah.
And then the toilet's one of those ones that's sort of attached to the wall with the system.
Well, most
the
of them are.
You know,
really.
No, they don't.
that's the it's difficult plumbing wise, really, if they sort of float in the middle of the room. You are in trouble with this DIY stuff, aren't you? Because we have ours in the middle of the living room. No wonder health and safety have been round a few times. Yeah.
So no, but you know the ones have got the cistern right there. You can see them, and then ones they've got the cistern sort of in the hidden, right?
It's hidden
behind the wall to give it a sleek look. When I got the bathroom down, I was like, just, you know, do what you like. I just want a toilet. I don't really mind. Anyway, this is the one that I went for, but I wasn't really thinking. So I sat on the toilet, and then it just fell off the wall with me on it.
Oh, I'd love to have seen that. You would have gone viral.
So the toilet fell off the wall.
Did it crack under? It wasn't one of those that cracked under your weight, was it? It just didn't fall apart.
It didn't fall apart, no. So then I was left holding the toilet with its contents, not really knowing what to do with the toilet. And there was a hole in the wall. And so I picked up the toilet, and they're heavier than you'd think, toilets, just in case. You know, bend with your knees if you're at home picking up your toilet. It's happened to you. And I thought, well, I don't know what to do here. So I poured the contents.
Max Rushton's toilet workout. Fantastic.
It does work. It works all muscle groups.
It does.
I poured the contents into a bucket.
Keep your back straight, though, obviously. You remember that. Yeah.
And I poured it down the other toilet. But I
You got more than one.
I've got two toilets.
Yeah,
Mark Schwarzer 9. Yeah. So, you know, there's
was this toilet not attached? Normally they're screwed into the wall. They're all attached to the floor with a couple of bolts.
No, it wasn't attached to the floor. It was sort of going into
the
wall.
Was it on wheels? Any man who's got a toilet on casters, in case you fancy putting it in one of the bedrooms overnight.
This is why Andy's stories take so long. So what happened was, I put them in, then I didn't know if you flushed that toilet, are they connected, like, you know, bulbs in series or bulbs in parallel, right? I thought, I'd take the risk, I flushed that toilet. And I thought, what do I do with the toilet?
You don't want blowback, do you?
There's just a hole in the wall.
A dirty protest. I'm sorry about this. You're probably having a late lunch. You don't need this.
There was a hole in the wall. So anyway, I thought, what do I do with this? So I thought, well, I'll take...
Goffey would be good with a hole in the wall. Bring him back to wearing that silver latex outfit that he did every week with Dale Winton.
Actually, given the size of the hole, he could have fitted through there. So I carried the toilet upstairs and put it on the terrace, right? But then the difficulty was that overnight...
Make a feature of it.
Well, I know. Overnight... And you know when your next-door neighbour sort of leave a fridge in the back garden, you think, you're really making the place, you know, this is not good for house prices.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, overnight, the toilet fell off the pot plant that I'd rested it on. Mm. And it turned out that I hadn't poured all the contents down.
No.
I'm really sorry about this.
Yeah.
And I wondered if the neighbours would look over the terrace to see that.
Bang goes the neighbourhood. So there they might have some sort of art installation or something.
So anyway,
okay,
it was a disappointing time for me. I don't know if you wanted that story or not, but it seemed
good luck with the good luck with the tool kit. I think it's going to. I think it's going to stay in the box. Basically,
Darren Brown. I don't know if you saw this. Has 200 stuffed animals at his house, including three giraffes.
Wow.
He's been trying to cut down on his obsession with taxidermy. Not sure I'd trust anyone with a taxidermied animal at home. He got a text recently asking if he was interested in buying a kiwi, which was in the back of a nearby van. He said, "I have 200 pieces of taxidermy," and then he said, "Yeah, a guy called Dave, who supplies me with that taxidermy animals, texted me and said, I've got a kiwi in the back. Are you interested?"
A bloke called Dave supplies him. I mean,
kiwis.
I want to know, if you're buying animals that have been stuffed, you'd want to know they're coming from a reputable source, wouldn't you? I mean, some fellas, it's not a good idea, is it? Some bloke called Dave.
I've got a wildebeest in the back.
Bloke called Dave's giving you stuffed animals out the back of a car.
Honest giraffe. He's got a penguin and a giraffe that passed away in a zoo. He's got three giraffes.
We can all say that, can't we?
Is that wrong? He says he's got a young giraffe who passed away naturally. It's important to point out he didn't kill anything. I also have the head and a neck plus the skeleton of a head and a neck. So that counts as three giraffes, but no full-sized giraffes. So I don't know, maybe Dave's van isn't tall enough for a full-sized giraffe.
Yeah, Dave's got to get one of those open ones with a cage next time he comes around. Maybe he can do your toilet for you at the same time. So anyway, there's a lot of information you didn't want. Don't forget, there's five football matches on tonight. We are yet to talk about the tweak to the offside rule.
We haven't.
We're yet to talk about a rare blip from Sean Macielis last night.
Haven't done that.
The old Albion player sort of stopped in their tracks. But as we all know, you play to the whistle, Max, don't you?
That's it. You play the whistle. You can get exercised by VAR, but just carry. Because half the West Brom players didn't, half just sort of stopped and went, I better.
It's no excuse. Sam wasn't happy. You could see that. And I think that was quite fundamental to the whole result of that game.
Do you think it changed it?
Yeah, I think it did. I think it was on a knife edge at that point.
It hinged. And I'm nervous of hinges at the moment, but it did hinge on that game.
Anyway, I'm sure we'll get round to all of that, and we'll have a good closer look at the games this evening. As we said, we'll take any questions you have for Tim Vickery, our man over in Rio. We've got Jason Cundy coming up next. We're going to talk Thomas Tuchel. What could he do in the short term? He's had less than 24 hours with the team, but what can we expect to see tonight? Jason Cundy, sports bar co-host, of course, and former Chelsea centre-half. What's wrong with you now, Max? What have you done?
It's just the barrage of texts. It's Talk Sport, not Talk Toilet, says Quest has not touched the warm. It's a bucket. She says, was Max in a B&Q showroom?
Yeah, that's true. They did kick him out of B&Q. After he'd used it. So, okay, let's move on.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, it's Holocaust Memorial Day, and Rick Broadbent in today's Times told the remarkable, harrowing story of Sir Ben Helfscott, who is an Olympian, a British Olympian, went to two Olympic Games and is the sole surviving Olympian to have survived the Nazi concentration camps. It's a remarkable tale. And Sir Ben's son, Michael, joins us now. Michael, good afternoon.
Hi, Paul and Max. How are you doing?
Yeah, we're good, thank you, Michael.
Good.
You spoke to Rick for this piece. And is it something your dad has always sort of talked to you about, his children, or is it something that he found very difficult and only sort of came to later in life?
Yeah, it's a really good question because my father's now 91 and less able to speak so easily about these things. But he actually always did speak to us as we were kids growing up, and he spoke to groups. And it was something that he never shied away from. He felt it was critical to him that the story was retold, his story and that of others, and those who perished. And that was absolutely so important. Today on Holocaust Memorial Day, it's a national remembrance of what happened. And so it's particularly poignant. But it's something that it's amazing to me now as I look back and I see the strength of character that he had. But he spoke about it, and he spoke about his experiences, and so much that was harrowing, so much that was awful. But he also tried to find a way of bringing out some of the good things that people did do in those dark times, and the way he rebuilt his life. So he sort of had a very broad perspective on it, but he never pushed it away. He talked about it.
It is hard. It's hard to talk about it. It's hard to listen to, but it is so important. I wonder if you could, you know, tell us a bit of his experiences.
Yeah, so Rick, actually, the article's a terrific article. Yeah. And I was moved by it, and it brought a tear to my eye, particularly in the last paragraphs where he talked about my father's attitude to sports. But before the war, my father actually had a very happy time growing up in Poland, a small town near Lodz, where he grew up, called Piotrków. But when the war came, they created a ghetto there. And unfortunately, in 1942, his mother and sister were actually taken out. They were rounded up with 560 others. They were taken out to the forest and they were all killed. And that was 1942. At the same time, from the ghetto, 22,000 people within a matter of weeks were taken and transported to Treblinka, where they were all killed. But my father actually was able to get a job, effectively a slave laborer in a glass factory. And because of that, from 1941, he was working there. He essentially was able to stay alive in the ghetto. And it was only in 1944 that he went from Piotrków to Buchenwald concentration camp with his father, actually. And there he was separated from his father. And he went to another camp, Schlieben, and ended up on 9th of May 1945 being liberated from Theresienstadt concentration camp. His father, he learnt just in the last days of the war that his father was seen on a death march and he was shot, so his father didn't survive. And out of his class, just to put it into some perspective, out of all his classmates pre-war, only two survived.
Wow.
And in 1945, and from his family, fortunately, he did have another sister, Marla Tribic, who's an amazing lady, and she's 90 years old now and still going strong, and she did survive, was liberated by the British Army from Bergen-Belsen concentration camp, but so much suffering and a whole family largely destroyed.
Something that didn't strike me, Michael, to read him Rick's piece today was this idea of the point of liberation. You think it would be joyous, but what Rick says is right. You're liberated to what? You've got no support group from your family. All the things you'd expect if you are liberated, you think you'd go back to the bosom of your family. Those that have survived are probably scattered all around Europe. You don't know if they're alive or dead. There's no means of finding out where they are. So, you know, I mean, he was fortunate to an extent. If people watch The Windermere Children tonight, which is on, I think, BBC Four again, it's the story of the Jewish refugees who went to the lakes, and from that he was able to rebuild his life, wasn't he?
So it's a really great point that it's relief that you've survived, but what world do you come into? And actually, from my father's point of view, I mean, he was tremendously resourceful, hugely independent. He was 15 years old. In 1945. But he was also very fortunate because the British government, in connection with what was then called the Central British Fund, is now World Jewish Relief, provided for 1,000 children, teenagers really, to come over to this country. And they settled in Windermere for a few months, and then they settled in London and around the country. And they were looked after and helped and guided and given that support. And it's so important as a story because my father is massively appreciative of coming over to this country and rebuilding his life. He loved Britain. He still loves Britain. And he just was able to, in 10 years later, having had an education, tried to catch up on his education that he had missed through the war. He was then competing at the Olympic Games in Melbourne in 1956. So, but that story is one that this country can be proud of. I said 1,000, but they actually didn't find 1,000, and in the end, there were only 732, mainly boys, some girls, 80 girls, who came to this country, and largely they rebuilt their lives tremendously well, and were great successes, and it's something I'm very proud of, and I think this country can be proud of. The Windermere connection is a lovely connection. It's a super film, actually. It really brings across what they experienced just in the post-war period. And that what was largely a very happy time for my father in the Lake District after the war.
And how did he find weightlifting?
Amazing. He was always very strong. I can tell you, I never saw him in his career, but you all know superstars from the 70s and so on. And as kids, we used to watch it. And then afterwards, you kind of imitate it a little bit, don't you? And there was always that squat thrusts and the dips and all the rest of it, and which we loved. And so we used to have challenges. And my father was, in his 50s already and so on. But we used to do press-ups within a minute, and we timed each other. And he was so effortless, and he was just... could do 60, 70, 80 press-ups a minute, no problem. It was just not out of it. He just had a terrific engine on him and was very strong. So he clearly loved sports. And apparently the story goes that he was in Hampstead and he was by the swimming pool and they were lifting some weights, as was often the case in those days. And he went up and he said, I think I can do that. And they said, oh, you'll never be able to lift it. And he pressed 180 pounds above his head without any problems. And the British record was, I think it was around about 210 pounds for his weight category at the time. So there was an element of a natural, he loved it. And his attitude to sports, I think he's got an amazing attitude. They can do, can get up, get on with it and can do it. And he just fitted in and loved the camaraderie of weightlifting and the sports world.
Michael, great to talk to you. Appreciate you
coming on
today and give our best to your father. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Max.
There we go. Michael Helfgott. Now, what an amazing story.
I've tweeted out the article. It is an amazing story. And you know, like he says, you know, there is a reason why we need to talk about this and remember this day. And, you know, and I found it incredibly moving, you know, and still do. What an amazing man. And like you say, you do think, oh, you're liberated and that's fine. But then you've got to rebuild your life. And as a teenager, it's just extraordinary, isn't it?
And that Windermere Children drama is tonight, I think, on BBC Four. And then it's followed by the Windermere Children in Their Own Words, which I've seen before, which is very powerful. And I think Sir Ben is part of that.
And also, you know, the absolute disgrace of people that deny this ever happening. You know, not unlike the people who are denying what's happening right now, you know, that have blood on their hands. And, you know, it's so important that... we do to keep talking about those things year on year, because we will, you know, we'll lose people. Lost a lot of people who, you know, who are just through old age who went through this, and it's important we keep talking about it. Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Yeah, what a story that was about Sir Ben Helfgott.
Yeah, really pleased we did it. I thought Michael was amazing, wasn't he? Spoke brilliantly, and a good thing to do.
We're back tomorrow from 1. We'll have the birthday spread. Annie will be joining us, amongst other things. Until then, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.